where we, you want to go? Okay. All right. I'd like to call to order the June 16th, 2022 Stormwater Utility Commission. Danielle, may I please have a roll call of the commissioners?
Vice Chair Crocker?
Here.
Commissioner Mattson?
Here.
Commissioner Parker?
Here.
Commissioner Thomas? Chair Kufari?
Present.
Let the record show we have a quorum.
All right. I'm going to run through our standard announcement here. At this time, this is the call to the audience agenda item. Any member of the public is allowed to address the commission on any issue not listed on today's agenda. Pursuant to Arizona open meeting law, individual commission members may ask town staff to review the matter, ask the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the commission may not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during call to the audience. In order to speak during call to the audience, please specify what you wish to discuss. When completing the blue speaker card, please limit your comments to 3 minutes. Staff, were there any requests to speak received during call to the audience?
Nothing received.
All right. Moving on to council liaison comments. Dr. Green, please.
My only comments were last night I mentioned Amy's appearance on TV, and I alluded to yours. So, that we're getting everybody ready.
I saw you in the video.
Thank you, guys.
You did a great,
soon.
Great
and
job.
And 15 seconds of fame.
Yeah, it was good.
Thank you. All right. Moving on to the next agenda item, director's report. Reminder, commissioners, this is informational only. Scott, are you running it, or Dennis? Dennis, please proceed.
Good afternoon, commissioners. I have a couple topics to go over. Arizona Floodplain Management Association conference was held last month here in Tucson. After a two-year hiatus, it was a great opportunity to reconnect with colleagues from across the state and catch up on the floodplain practices and projects. The conference was highlighted by a presentation given by Suzanne Shields, the Pima County Regional Flood Control District Director. Suzanne's presentation, covering a four-decade professional career span from the beginning days of the modern floodplain management and drainage design practices here in Tucson region to current topics such as the FEMA Flood Insurance Program Risk Rating 2.0, and obtaining the state's first Class 3 Community Rating Service designation. Naraha Park Improvement Project has begun. The Oro Valley Parks and Recreation Department is excited to announce construction has started on the project and asks that folks please exercise caution as they visit the park, which will continue to be open during construction. The sandbag program will again be available to the public starting June 15th at Naraha Park, but please use caution in navigating the park during construction. Folks can visit the Oro Valley Parks and Recreational page for more details. That covers what I have. I'd like to turn it back over to Chair Kufari.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Mr. Roberts. Moving on to the regular session agenda, item number one, review and approval of the April 21st, 2022 meeting minutes. Commissioners, do you have any comments, questions, amendments? All look good?
I have no comments. I'd like to recommend approval.
All right. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. So that's Mr. Thomas. Okay. Mr. Mattson. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Ayes have it. Moving on to item number two, discussion of meetings and events. Mr. Roberts, please proceed.
Thank you, Chair Kufari. Commissioners, thank you again for your attendance today. Presented here some of past, present, future meetings and events involving the stormwater utility. Some highlights are from the list. From the list are June 12th through June 18th this week, 2022 National Weather Service Monsoon Awareness Week. Every June, the Southwest U.S. National Weather Service offices work with the public safety partners and broadcast media to observe Monsoon Awareness Week with the goal of reducing the number of deaths, injuries, and property damage caused by weather-related dangers that occur during the monsoon. Through education about proper precautionary actions to be taken, lives can be saved and property losses can be minimized. June 15th, 2022, Oro Valley Town Council final budget meeting yesterday. The Town Council is meeting to finalize and approve the upcoming fiscal year budget. Once approved, we will be bringing the budget to the commission as part of the future financial analysis presentation. June 22nd, 2022, Pima County Flood Response Training. Pima County Regional Flood Control District is providing flood response and investigation training focusing on major flood events. Staff from other jurisdictions and agencies are invited to attend this training. While some of the training will be specific to how the district conducts investigations, most of the material covered is valuable to anyone conducting flood investigations. Topics include personal safety roles and responsibilities, proper documentation, public contact, lines of communication, and what supplies to have at the ready. That is what I have for now. I'd like to pass it back to
Mr. Parker. Has comments?
Yeah, just a question on that flood control, flood response training. Is that relatively new? Has that been around a long time?
Probably about the past 5-6 years.
Is that long?
Yeah.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, so.
And does the town participate in that?
The town is going to participate, I think, 4 or 5 members, plus the new emergency management operator.
New emergency manager.
Emergency manager.
Exactly the title.
The one who replaced.
They are starting on Monday.
Yeah, so I think he'll be there as well. So.
What about anybody from the utility going to be there?
Yeah. Okay. Myself and John, and I don't know if anybody else will be.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That sounds great. Great.
Yeah, it's great. It is open to the public, so if you guys want information, we can feed that through the utility as well. All right. Thank you, guys. Moving on to item number 3, presentation and discussion of updates to FEMA's new Flood Insurance Risk Rating 2.0 program presented by Joseph Kafari, Pima County Regional Flood Control District. I turn it over to myself. Thank you for having me, commissioners. You all have seen a version of this. This is a living document, so I am going to move a little fast through it, just so, you know, in the interest of time here, so. The Risk Rating 2.0 program is a new way that FEMA prices flood insurance. It's focusing more on the individual risks of the property and pricing individual insurance associated with that instead of looking at it as a broad swath across the nation. All right. So FEMA's tagline is what's called equity in action. And essentially this is looking at property owners will no longer pay more than their share in premiums based on the value of their home. So if you think of a manufactured home is going to cost less to replace than damage to a mansion. That's essentially what this pricing scheme is trying to accomplish, that equity factor. This went into effect October 1st, and it affected all new policies. But the full effect went into effect April 1st, no fools day. And that's for all renewing or new policies. So everybody is on this system now. And since October 2021, there's about 509,000 policies across the nation affected by it. Now, of course, it's all everybody. So Jerry Seinfeld likes to say, what's the deal? So we'll explain it. So through their new pricing methodology, better inform individuals and communities about the flood risk. Again, that equity component. I want to give you a little bit of statistics of the legacy method, it's called. So this was before risk rating. So there's about 5 million flood insurance policies across the nation, accounting for $1.3 trillion in coverage. As you could imagine, a lot of those policies are along the coastal communities, so Florida, Texas, New Jersey, California. I think I have some stats on Arizona in here. I think we have about 2,000 across Arizona. So how does this affect Arizona? It's anticipated that about 25% of those policies will see an immediate decrease, and about 68% of those policies will have about a $0 to $10 change per month. FEMA is basing this on the 2018 affordability framework, which essentially said that lower income earners live in higher hazard areas, and that's just the social, you know, and the equitable aspect of it. So again, how do we combat this? So what is changing? I'll just highlight a few here. This was designed for, this is very important. This was designed to help flood insurance agents price these policies. This was not taking into account floodplain managers. It's not taking into account stormwater utility managers. So there's kind of a disconnect, and we'll get into that. So this at least simplifies the quote process for those insurance agents. A huge change is that the mandatory elevation certificate requirement is going away. It's expanding the community rating system discounts. So we've talked about that a little bit in here. We're all regulated to FEMA standards. They have minimum requirements. Communities such as Stormwater and ourselves, if you go above and beyond those requirements, you get discounts. Pima County has become a Class 3 community, 10 being bad, 1 being good. Class 3 gives Pima County residents a 35% discount on their flood insurance. It was pretty serendipitous because that change went into effect April 1st as well. So we had risk rating and our change of class, which was kind of unique.
Why was it changed?
There's annual recertification processes. It's very in-depth, so I'll give you the highlights. You get points for the activities that a community does. So that's mapping, floodplain, public outreach is huge, acquiring flood-prone land, all this stuff.
Okay, I think you covered that.
Yeah, we meet and exceed those point values.
I thought maybe it was tied to either income or the number.
And we're actually very optimistic because in November we're going through this cycle again, and we could become a Class 2 community. So resulting in 40%, that puts us in one of five communities throughout the nation. We're already in the top 1% by being this Class 3. Pima County is a national leader, and it's with the help of the Stormwater Utility and Marana, City of Tucson, all that stuff. So that's great. It's expanding more discounts. Another huge change is what's called the replacement cost value. So it's looking at what it would cost to replace that flood damage. So it's not looking at the full cash value or the actual cash value of that property. It's that replacement cost value. Again, the mansion's going to have to replace tile and marble and all that kind of stuff. Manufactured homes looking at some concrete piers that you could go get at Home Depot. So it's looking at that equitable.
What does the last statement mean? BFEs and flood zones will not be used in rating considerations.
So in that old method, the use of the flood insurance rate map was utilized. So if you were in that FEMA high hazard area, it told you on that map. It made general broad assumptions. With those zone AEs, it had that water surface elevation, that base flood elevation. Those are essentially going away. They do go away, and we'll look at why and how.
Interesting.
Yeah. Again, that disconnect between working on this for the agents and working for the floodplain management community, never different. Two different aspects. What is not changing? Surcharges, premium increases, of course. Congress is going to get their money. Those discounts are not going away. They're actually being expanded. And then that fourth bullet point, the use of the flood insurance rate map for mandatory purchase. So if you live in that FEMA flood zone and you have a mortgage with the structure, you have to get flood insurance. That's not going away. So there's two factors, there's two variables that go into this, the ratings and the buildings. Types. So your rating variables, you're looking at your fluvial or your pluvial zones. Distance to the flooding source, which is the driving factor. That's the biggest thing that is affecting this. So how close are you to that flooding source? The elevation of your finished floor related to that flooding source, that's the second biggest factor. And then your building variables, replacement cost value, is your third highest factor. So those three right there are really what's driving that price. Which is great for us to know. So looking at how this is rated, FEMA has contracted with a company called CoreLogic. They started out as a real estate kind of pricing firm. They've now expanded international. And part of their tool suite is looking at relating the finished floor of your structure related to the natural grade. So they're establishing that finished floor elevation, it's called. The problem that floodplain managers are seeing is that their models are not correct. They're way off in most instances. And because they got rid of that elevation certificate requirement, which proved what it was, there's another disconnect there. So But what is good about that is that the homeowner can still submit that LCERT to their insurance agent. What's bad about that is it doesn't have to be filled out by a surveyor. So if I want to, you know, it kind of comes down to the insurance agent, what they're willing to risk, you know, and look at, but another disconnect. It doesn't hurt for the property owner to give them that LCERT, whatever the lower premium is going to be, whether it comes from CoreLogic or that LCERT, the lower premium will be given. So it doesn't hurt. A majority of the properties do have one already because of construction and all that kind of stuff. So again, the elevation of the data. This is kind of cool, the local relative elevation. So my main question when we started looking at this is how are they going to look at it individually? And what they're doing is they're using latitude and longitude to get that center point of the home. They're expanding out 500 meters squared, and they're taking a average of the surrounding land. So if you're sitting on top of a mountain, theoretically you're outside of that hazard because you're elevated more, and that's going to show. But if you're down, you know, even at the foothills or something, that local relative elevation is going to be different. So you're going to be priced accordingly on that. There are a bunch of rating tables that I'm not going to bore you guys or show you, but we can see how that impacts based on how high or low you are. Those are some definitions of what's considered the elevation of a structure and how FEMA rates it. We've talked about this. Distance to the flooding source is the key. It has the greatest effect on the premiums and then the elevation and the RCV. The flooding source is based on what's called the National Hydrography Data Set version 2 plus. Scott's nodding, he knows what that is. I had no idea what it is, what it was. This is another disconnect. We don't know where that data is coming from, essentially. We're looking at a lot of models for Pima County where we see errors. You know, maybe it might not be a wash, and we'll actually show that to you. So this is what that right side is what the hydrography looks like for Pima County. This is the area kind of by Christopher Columbus Park, where the CDO and the Rito and the Santa Cruz all merge together. What we're seeing as a disconnect, that's easier if I just show you, is that this is a landfill, this is the lake at Christopher Columbus Park, this is our wastewater treatment plant. So they're showing, the way the system is looking at this, they're not taking that stuff into account. They don't know what it is. Their models are just showing that there's water there, it has the potential to flood. Those wastewater treatment plants, those are the scrapers, the separators that's separating biosolids from wastewater, from effluent. That's not gonna flood. So that's another big disconnect that we're looking at. Because of that CRS rating, we're looking at potentially about $1 million in savings for Pima County residents, just based on averages. We have it broken down by zip codes. I've given Mr. Spiker the zip codes for Oro Valley, and he has that data, but we can get that to you guys as well. This is just showing kind of the percent changes of those policies within those zip codes.
So yeah. Does that mean that the Pima County, since they have the 35, that applies to OV?
No, so it's only for the unincorporated Pima County.
That's right,
yeah, so City of Tucson has one, Marana has one. So we ran these numbers. You'll see that discount, that 25% discount. We ran this before that Class 3 change. So these are a couple case studies. This is a property out by leading up to Mount Lemmon, so the northeast part of town. Zone X, so it's not in a FEMA floodplain. They don't have to get flood insurance. But this is our biggest violation that we're working on right now. It's additions, and the home itself was essentially built without permits, and they're below grade and all this stuff. They have a basement. They have all this. Yeah. This is the data that the pricing spit out. $3,300 for full coverage. That's $250 for the building, $100 for contents. And I saw that, and I said, okay, that's high, but that seems normal for what it is. Even the CoreLogic data said it was about 0.3, it was about 4 inches above grade. We would agree with that. But then we got to our second quote. This is Swan and Camp Lowell, so this is along the Rito River. This is in what's called an other flood hazard area, 500-year floodplain. It's a low hazard floodplain. This is within a subdivision. They have drainage ways. They maintain, you know, newer home, all this stuff. We looked at this and I said, this is, and so if you look, the replacement cost value, $600,000 to replace that house, which we would agree with. This is a mansion. This is, you know, it's huge. It's nice. This is just your normal everyday subdivision, you know, KB home type of thing, $250,000. They're almost $2,000 more than that previous quote. So this is where we really started to ask why. And this is, again, that disconnect with the floodplain management and the insurance side. So what we found, or what we've learned since then, is that it's not taking local data into account, and it's going back to that hydrography data set. So this is a bank-protected portion of the Rito River. These guys have riverfront property, and that's because there's that protection there. The erosion's not going to come. Rito could theoretically overtop, you know, in a 500-year storm. Very low, exactly, very low hazard area. So this is where that local data is not being taken into account. These are some huge errors. Needless to say, this is the insurance agent who ran this for me. This is his property. He's dropping it. He went from about $500 under that old pricing system up to $5,000. He's dropping it. Same thing just happened at the CDO at the Omni Hotel. There's those townhomes, McGee area, McGee and the river. The guy went from $300 to $3,000. He's not doing it. So FEMA's equity, we're seeing inaction, you know, instead of what they're designed to do.
So that means, excuse me, but
yeah.
So if they have a federal mortgage, they mm-hmm. have to take it. But in this case, they might own it or have a private mortgage. They could say, I don't want it.
Correct. Because they're in this 500-year yep. floodplain, they're not required okay. to have it. It's not mandatory.
Got it.
But yes, you would be correct. So in this case, this is a mobile home out by the casino way down south there in Ajo. This is a Zone A FEMA floodplain. If that mobile home has a mortgage with it, they have to pay that flood insurance. They're looking at about $3,000 worth of coverage. Again, we're looking to keep it even, apples to apples, we're looking at the full coverage amount, $250,000. Your manufactured home's probably not even worth that now. You know, so they're going to have some play with that. But whatever their loan says, they have to adhere to. Again, that equity factor. The first floor height is wrong on this one. CoreLogic spit out 1 foot. We have a permit that says it's 3 feet. As we ran through these case studies, I wanted to feel good that there was some hope. So I picked a property up high on a mountain, you know, and they spit out $600. So great for those people. But you know what? Those people can afford it, you know. So again, that equity component. These were some of the questions that we've talked about that led to it. But I want to highlight what's called there's the star on the second one there, the reserve fund assessment. We had no answers to what that was. The insurance agent did not know what that was either. So we had to go to our FEMA Region 9 representative and ask her. And the purpose for that is to set aside a fund to pay for future claims. That's what we were told. So we went, isn't that what insurance is? Right? So
insurance for insurance.
Right, it's insurance for insurance. So we went down a little bit deeper, and down at the bottom there, it's an 18% surcharge put on by Congress, which is essentially a catastrophic holding tank. So think of it as Arizona is paying catastrophic claims in Houston. That's what it is. Our money is
going. I think it's called the Hurricane Sandy.
Hurricane Sandy, anything that's declared a presidential disaster, local, anything like that, that's what our 18% surcharge is. So if you take that out of that $5,000 quote, it helps, you know, so, but 18% on top of that.
And this is equity for us to cover.
To cover somebody who lives in South Carolina.
And I should mention that FEMA owes the U.S. Treasury about $3 billion worth for flood insurance-related claims. And that's because we've had catastrophic claims, starting with Katrina, right? There's been so many. This is how they're making it up. I have two more case studies here. This one is kind of by U of A area. I want to highlight here, we noticed that this HIFA surcharge was $250, whereas the other ones were $25. That's because this is a rental property. It's not a primary residence. So there's a little discrepancy, but they price you accordingly based on primary versus rental. This one's pretty interesting. This is a lady in our office, Swan and Broadway area. I could be wrong. But whatever, Swan area. FEMA flood zone, she's required to have flood insurance. This home has been there since the late 60s. It's one of the original ones. She, the first floor height, 1.1, which sounds okay. She actually had an elevation certificate done a few years ago, and those numbers circled show that she's actually below the water surface. So CoreLogic is saying, hey, you're sitting above that natural grade. Well, her elevation certificate is showing you're below the water surface. This is a factor where it wouldn't help her to submit that LCERT. But it's also a factor where CoreLogic helps her, but their information is entirely wrong. We have that local data. The FEMA, CoreLogic, the other subsidiaries with that will not take our considerations into account. This is a huge, huge factor across the nation. So the National Flood Association Conference, I was in attendance for that. And it was pretty fun as a floodplain manager because the guy who designed risk rating was there. And we hammered him for about 4 to 5 hours, poor guy. And we said, you need to revise these models. You need to take it into account. Well, FEMA has contracts and it's an RFP. And we said, we're not seeing that equity. We're not seeing what you told us. We have to work with these individuals every single day. The agents are getting hammered, all this stuff. So the main questions coming out of that is, what is equity? We're not seeing it.
So am I hearing this right, that if you LCERTs are gone, mm-hmm. so even if you're in a floodplain and you've built 20 feet above the floodplain, you're still having to pay flood insurance even though your house will never flood because you've got an LCERT above the 1,000-year storm?
Right. So that's, I can answer that in a couple ways. So you could get that. You could prove with the LCERT that you're higher and you'll be rated accordingly.
Okay.
You can get that letter of map revision.
Okay.
So an engineer would certify and determine that, hey, you are an island in the ocean, essentially, okay. And get you out of that mandatory purchase requirement.
So there is a procedure to where even if you're in the floodplain, you can get yourself out of the mandatory. Even Richard brought up the federal, even if you have a federal.
Right. And so you have to go through that revision process, gotcha. Which is Dennis deals with it. I mean, that's all the time. It's a lengthy process.
Okay.
But what you're paying in engineering cost could obviously save you in the very long run of having to pay that flood insurance. So.
And the reason I was asking, because if we have any developers who are developing properties that are in a X or an A or whatever,
yeah.
hopefully they're aware mm-hmm. of this so that this is passed on to homebuyers so that they know what's coming. Probably not.
Would they?
Yeah, that's true. Never mind.
I mean, it's tagging $5,000 on there.
Yeah.
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 Some other data, 33,000 agents have been trained on risk rating, so that's great, I guess. but they still have questions as well. They're not floodplain managers, so when they see those, 10 times what they were paying, they don't know how to answer that question. And they could potentially lose that client. They might go to another insurance agent. So kind of having that trickle-down effect. These are some of the ones that we've highlighted, that risk rating needs to be more accessible to the general public and especially floodplain managers, so we can talk to the community. Right now they are so tight-fisted. If we want to get those quotes, we have to talk to an insurance agent. We need more locally relevant examples. FEMA is essentially designed to protect the coastal regions, and rightly so. They're dealing with more storms and impacts than the arid Southwest, but we need to break it down at least by FEMA regions. Let's have that discussion. Maybe factoring in census tracts could be an option, giving discounts to certain zip codes or areas. FEMA, the government's collecting that data. They should be able to tailor that, and provide that equity as well. This is my favorite. CoreLogic needs to accept the LCERTs to revise their models. It's funny because some of the sponsors of that conference and people who presented before CoreLogic, Pilot LCERTs is one of those, they do the same thing, but they're taking that local data and revising their models. So it was kind of a, I almost said a bad word. It's kind of a ha-ha, I gotcha type of thing to CoreLogic. So that was kind of funny. But there is some hope. This was the Association of State Floodplain Managers National Conference. I attended it virtually. And that STAR, FEMA and ASFPM want to work together to revise these models. So why they didn't do it 2 years ago is anyone's question. But, I guess fingers crossed there is hope. I like to end positively. So it's cool on the agent side. It's not a software product, so it's not tied to your computer. It's an app, essentially. You can bring it up on a website, which allows them to go out and price it in real time at the construction site, what they're doing, get pictures. It's very easy to do. It's about 5 minutes. Agents were very happy that there's pictures showing the elevation method. So when you get to that section on the quote form, and you have to determine, are you on a slab on grade or a crawl space or do you have basement? There's actually pictures showing that agent so they can look and make a better assumption because those are priced differently as well. And that's what I have. Again, this is a living, breathing document, so I'm sure next year I'll do something like this. I have a lot more in-depth data if anyone's interested. Feel free to reach out to Scott or Dennis or Mr. Spiker and we can get you that information, but just a quick and dirty on that one.
Thank you.
Oh, I guess that's me.
Yes.
Gotta keep talking. All right. Thank you, Mr. Kafari. All right. Thank you. Let's move on to item number 4, presentation and discussion of the FEMA floodplain studies for La Cholla and Mudder River washes.
Scott's bringing up my presentation here.
Gee, I didn't know we had such a big
bridge. I was going to say, is that the new Mudder Wash Bridge? Is that CIP or is that, do you guys budget for that?
Stormwater.
Yeah. Flood
control
district's
fine. It's up to you just don't know about it. The National Flood Insurance Program requires participating communities to adopt floodplain management ordinance containing certain minimum requirements intended to reduce future flood losses. This is a condition of the agreement for making flood insurance available in communities. Part of the NFIP regulation relates directly to identifying and mapping of special flood hazard areas. These tasks assist in the Federal Emergency Management Agency efforts to identify and publish up-to-date special flood hazard areas. Upon completion of the La Cholla Boulevard roadway widening project, the conditions were met along the La Cholla Wash complex to trigger such a change in the FEMA flood hazard area. It became necessary for the town and Pima County to coordinate with FEMA to revise the affected floodplains. A request was made to Arizona Department of Water Resources in 2020 to assist in a floodplain restudy. The result, the request was sent up to FEMA and accepted in 2021 to begin the effort. FEMA and their risk team contracted with J.E. Fuller to gather data and begin the floodplain revision study. Simultaneously, the town requested ADWR to assist in a floodplain study on the Mudder Rooney Push Ridge Wash complex on the east side of Oro Valley. Historic flooding issues, missing floodplain data, and urbanization in the area have triggered a need for an updated, more detailed floodplain study. This request was also accepted by FEMA and incorporated into the La Cholla Wash complex restudy. FEMA has completed the hydrology and the hydraulics analysis and is currently preparing draft working maps, which will then be used in exhibits and formal public meetings. Announcements on these public meetings will be made available publicly in the near future. I would like to briefly cover the agenda for the presentation. I'll cover an introduction to the team, a brief background on stormwater utilities roles, discuss the scope, deliverables, and schedule, project direction, strategies being developed to reduce the flood risk, and we'll end with a session of questions and answers. The base material presented on these slides are technical in nature. I'll do my best to keep the presentation simple, clear, and direct. The presentation is available to print and review online. If there are any questions after the meeting, please feel free to reach out to me. I'd be happy to help you understand the content being presented and or answer any other questions. The stakeholders included FEMA and their consultant with Compass Project Team preparing the documents, Pima County Regional Flood Control and Oro Valley Stormwater Utility providing reviews and assistance in and ADWR supporting the project and team. Why are we here? Why is Stormwater Utility here? We are assisting in the review and the verification of the hydrology and the hydraulics analysis, the floodplain mapping. We're reviewing for any conflict reviews with existing drainage studies impacting the FEMA study area. And we're taking this opportunity to discuss with FEMA and the state to pursue assistance on future community projects. Having updated floodplain maps is very beneficial to the community. To have current data will assist in identifying and assessing flood risk, establishing flood insurance rates, planning for land uses, keeping the engineering and development community updated on the town's regulatory floodplain information, and give real-time information for those in the emergency services sector. The scope of work entails preparing hydrology analysis. This will tell us how much stormwater should we expect in volume, at what discharge rate, cubic feet per second, and how long it takes to peak and get to the concentration points. The hydraulic analysis looks at how the expected hydrology will impact the geometry of the channel. Does the stream have the conveyance area to keep the significant storm events from overtopping? And if it overtops, where does the floodplain limit lie? The floodplain mapping is a product of the hydrology and hydraulics results. This image is of the study area. You can see in the light blue hatch on that little map on the bottom left-hand corner. Those are the floodplain areas that are being, or the watershed areas that are being analyzed in this study. A more detailed scope of what is involved in the study scope is preparing topographic survey, referencing soil maps, collecting field data as needed, collecting infrastructure as-built plans to create a base map. Hydrology and hydraulics are analyzed using specific computer programs to assist in documenting of inputs, results, and calculations. It requires documenting and evaluation of new study against the existing regulatory studies, any other recorded regulatory drainage documents. It is effective. It is a very thick document, to say the least. The objective is ultimately to develop a floodplain work map that is accepted and used to revise the affected flood insurance rate map. Getting to this point requires many meetings internally with the project team, notifications to affected parcel owners, and public review. Topography used for the study is very important. It's the basis for the hydrology and the hydraulic analysis. We are fortunate as a community to have LIDAR data available to us in Pima County Association of Governments. The LIDAR data is flown by a plane or drone, and they are able to record elevation points within a 0.1 grid. It's an overabundant amount of energy of data, but it's important that the data is processed, verified, and sealed by a registered surveyor. This exhibit shows the limits of the LIDAR data that's used. It's outlined by the colored hatch, where the green is elevated higher than the red, and the red is where the town's stormwater wants to drain. The yellow outline represent the limits of the FEMA study. Hydrology was analyzed using HMS and Flow2D, and the hydraulic was analyzed using HECRAS and Flow2D. The HEC programs are sponsored by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. They've been around for some time. Flow2D is a newer software that has proven to be very powerful for analyzing watersheds and preparing flood hazard analysis. The modeling software is determined by what would be warranted to use. Flow2D works really well for urban development with alluvium characteristics where the watershed is distributary. Initially, in preparing the hydrology, the engineer will determine the source data for historical rainfall statistics. On this project, no gauge data was available. The rain data provided by the town's drainage criteria manual and NOAA Atlas 14 was utilized. An important evaluation in this study is to do comparison of the existing drainage information to the newly prepared analysis. This shows that there are significant drops in peak discharge at stream locations in the Mud or Wash tributaries. This is due to having more detailed survey, as-built information, and the analysis tools used today versus when the past studies were prepared. This table shows the peak flow comparison between the new study and the existing drainage information in the LaCholla Wash tributaries.
Were there any significant differences, expected versus new?
Yes, there's on the Mud or Wash, the fourth column over is the study's peak discharge. The sixth column over is what was prepared in the existing, in the previous studies. Mm-hmm. And you can see that there, some of them are almost half of what they were. When you're looking at the LaCholla drainage peak flow comparison, they do have some that actually went the other way in the Loma Stora Wash. Calibration evaluation of the hydrology results is conducted to calibrate the peak flows used in the hydraulic analysis. The peak flow results, assuming that the assuming a 100-year 24-hour storm, a 3-hour storm, and regional regression equations are compared. Typically, the conservative peak flow value is used for the hydraulic analysis. This map shows red and green outlined areas indicating the limits in the Mud or Wash and the LaCholla Wash where Flow2D was utilized. The narrative presented on this slide discusses the Flow2D modeling settings for the grid size and analyzed and a discussion of the assumed property, assumed boundary conditions. This map shows an area northeast of the LaCholla and Lambert intersection.
That's our neighborhood.
The effective FEMA floodplain, special flood hazard area zone A, is in the purple hatched area. The blue outline shows the floodplain mapping from the ongoing FEMA study. You can see there's some significant improvements in the detail of the floodplain, mapping. This map shows the LaCholla Wash watershed south of Lambert Lane, where it ties into Canyon del, the CDO Wash. There's significant area benefiting from this study. It will bring all these parcels, just east of LaCholla, out of the floodplain mapping.
Is that due to better drainage channels now?
Drainage channels, as-built information, really detailed topography.
Okay.
There's that major drain they put in under LaCholla that's going toward that fan area down below. That's new in the last few
years. You can kind of see where it's skinnied up in the wash
and then
it crosses.
Yeah, right.
So everything on the west side of the road is actually outside of that FEMA floodplain now.
That's great.
That's beneficial for those parcel owners. This map shows revisions to the floodplain in the Mudder Wash area. There's an area of concern where the flow breaks out, and you kind of see the blue outline that leaves the purple hatched area. So there's a breakout at Greenock Drive. You can see it a little better in this map. There's roughly 214 CFS that's breaking out. And this is an exhibit from Flow2D. It's pretty nice. It produces a flow depth color image where the green is less than half a foot and red shows there's a little bit, just over a foot of depth of water in those areas.
Is most of the red in the golf course?
Yes.
So those folks aren't worried about Canard d'Or wash, they're worried about the breakout that's coming from the other one.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. Floodway determination was required for the existing push ridge wash to revise the regulatory floodway. This was the only location where it was required because it was an existing FEMA floodway. The town had opted to not do the floodway on the rest of the mapping. During this process, there are ongoing projects, the LaCholla Boulevard construction, and there's a Clomar currently being processed for development southeast of LaCholla and Lambert. It was beneficial to this study to reference those studies and vice versa. Schedule. This exhibit shows the stages in the process related to the milestone events. Project was kicked off August 2020. Stakeholders' first flood risk review discussion was last February. The preliminary firm meeting to distribute the preliminary work maps will happen in July. The affected communities and public will have an opportunity to review the maps. There's a 90-day appeal and comment period because the consultants will review and address any comments and make final determinations. There is a 6-month compliance permit period prior to the issuance of the revised effective flood insurance rate map. Our next steps. We completed a review. The town completed a review. I actually did the review on it and completed it and submitted it April 18th, 2022. The next step in the communities and the public review with the 90-day appeal and comment period. This is an example of the firm insurance, the firm map. The opportunity to appeal, the appeals and comments can be related to technical data and base map features. Strategies to reduce your flood risk. Delivery high quality risk data, pretty much what I'm covering now with the flood mapping. Increase awareness of flood risk. In my department, I do receive a lot of community calls from developers, from individuals asking for floodplain information and processes that they would have to go through if they were proposing any improvements.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Commissioner Crock. So improvements to what your results were or after the results have come. So is anyone actually protesting these studies yet or is that?
It hasn't got to that point.
Okay.
That 90-day appeal and comment session, before that they will release a copy of the work maps and the documentation to get everybody.
Do you expect anything from developers to say, I don't like this?
I don't think so. Okay. Most of everybody is getting benefit from it.
Good.
Question, Commissioner Mattson. Lambert and La Jolla, when you were making that analysis, you're making it on the existing land used there or on the future rezoned, it's being rezoned Which would have a greater impact on all the people south of there, housing people, which some of the neighbors, because how was that analyzed? Is it analyzing what's there now?
It's analyzing as an existing conditions.
But it's already been rezoned.
The developer.
Multiple family on one side, the north side, and the south side, there will be single family homes two large acreage sites.
Correct, and I'm reviewing those documents as well. I'm very familiar with those projects.
I know, I understand that.
Yeah. Man, we need to know.
And are you analyzing that with that type of impact?
Yes. So,
That's
but it's not part of the FEMA study. So this FEMA study is actually out in front of the developers. Mm-hmm. This document will revise the floodplain. And then they're going to come back with their own POMAR to propose the changes to the land itself.
So I was wondering if we were ahead of it rather than behind. Because I can see all the headaches that the council is going to have afterwards if we're behind it.
Yeah, I would say we're neck and neck because FEMA is working on our project and are pretty far along. They've completed hydrology and hydraulics. The developer are still in the COMAR stage, which is just presenting the concept.
So they'll have to respond to what is adopted.
Yes.
The developers, okay. So rather than us having to respond to the developers.
I'll jump in and correct me if I'm wrong, Dennis, but when there's a big development or a subdivision like that, they're looking at it at a very site-specific. So remember, we looked at those in the past presentations of building within Big Wash and all that kind of stuff, those drainage statements, those analysis. That's a specific thing, using the latest models that they can get.
I'm thinking that when we were on our field trip, when all that side down, further down south of that area, which was not developed on La Jolla at the time, now you go down there and, and I remember John saying, well, we have this open field here that will take care of the drainage. Well, that's gone in the last couple of weeks. That's gone now.
People's living rooms now.
So, that's what I was thinking.
It's incredible the drainage structures they have to build for that development.
Yeah, the cost of that.
Can I take you to the other side? Does the push and the mutters and all that? Are the HOAs there, the Oral Valley Country Club and all them, are they aware of these studies that are ongoing in that? Or?
Yes.
Okay, so they're part of the...
Yes, anybody that's affected by the revisions to the firm will receive notification that there's plans to change the mapping.
So they've already received those?
They have not yet. Yeah, so we're still in the process.
It's going to be a surprise.
Does that go to the HOAs or does that go to every individual homeowner?
There'll be an announcement that goes, it'll either be announced by a news article or the town will issue individual mailers. And it's usually the county that we work with.
We have little notification postcards.
But again, so they go to individuals.
Depending on what is scoped, but yes. Usually
the reason I'm involved in HOAs.
Yeah.
And sometimes it goes to the manager, then usually pass it forward.
No, to answer your question, it's usually the individual, and then there will be press releases and news stories.
Individual addresses.
Yeah. Individual addresses.
Okay.
Whoever is affected by that firm panel.
And we're anticipating that the study is going to show benefits in the existing HOAs too?
Yes.
Okay.
Good.
Some additional strategies to reduce your flood risk. There are many strategies you can take to reduce flood risk. The town's reviewing construction documents as a method of prevention. This helps us understand the effects of improvements proposed for future development. We're able to provide guidance using the ordinances and building codes that are in place. Property protection involving berms or diversion channels to redirect runoff, construction detention basins to attenuate development flow to pre-development conditions. Providing public awareness is also key, and we are approached by residents on what they can do to prevent flooding. Protecting the natural resources, improving water quality, maintaining habitat resources, and channel capacity will help reduce the flood risk.
multi-hazard mitigation planning. The new FEMA floodplain mapping will be very beneficial when we're pursuing drainage issue mitigation funding. This is one of the programs that we use. Now open the floor for any questions or comments if you have any left.
I just have one more, and this is a side note. You mentioned something about the LIDAR data, that surveyors will sign off on the LIDAR data without running out and doing their own?
No, it's good for drainage analysis and okay. drainage studies. For improvements, you really need to have site-specific survey.
Yeah.
So you can use it for your hydrology and hydraulics.
Conceptual design is good for that, but
when you're doing a LOMAR or a CLOMAR or whatever, then you've got to have actual.
Well, CLOMAR and LOMAR would also be acceptable to you.
It would be acceptable for that too. Okay.
But the actual construction of the house.
LCD is running on the LIDAR.
It's running on the LIDAR. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. But surveyors won't sign off on that if you're trying to do corners on a property or anything like that.
Well, thank you for the time. And
thank you.
Very informative.
And I'll pass it back to you, Joe.
Joe's fine. Joe's fine. Moving on to agenda item number 5, presentation and discussion of Oro Valley monsoon preparedness. Scott, I think you're doing that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yes. You need this.
We're going to have a monsoon this year? Yes.
50-50.
Yeah. See, it might start on Saturday.
I heard that. Yeah, I heard.
Be great.
Yes. My swirls are starting to shrivel.
Oh, boy.
I know. It's like, what?
So I am going to give a presentation on monsoon preparedness. This was prepared by Mr. Spiker. And on to the first slide. So every summer, southern Arizona experiences a weather phenomenon known as the monsoon season. It goes from June 15th through September 30th, which happened yesterday, the official start of monsoon.
Yeah.
So the rain definitely brings respite from the heat, but it also brings some hazards that we want to talk about and requires us to prepare for a monsoon season. And we do that through four main areas of focus. We do that through interdepartmental cooperation, interagency partnering, operation and maintenance activities, and public outreach. So the first topic would be interagency partnering. So the National Weather Service offices are hosting, as Dennis alluded to earlier, Monsoon Awareness Week. It's going on this week as we speak. And one of the components of the National Weather Service agency here in the southern Arizona is the Storm Ready program. The town has been part of this program since 2006, has renewed its membership through 2027, and the Storm Ready program helps arm America's communities with communication and safety skills needed to save lives and property before, during, and after storm events. So, you know, kudos to us. We've been part of that for, 16-17 years now. So regional partnering is a big deal in monsoon preparedness. You know, we work pretty closely with Golden Ranch Fire District, the Flood Control District, as well as the other communities, you know, Marana and Tucson. And you know, one component of this regional partnering is the Pima County Multi-Jurisdictional Hazard Mitigation Plan. There's a new one coming out in October. The last one was done in 2017, I believe. And it's one of the benchmarks that we need in order to apply for FEMA grants. So this has to be in place in order for a lot of other activities to take place. And we've seen the benefits of this already. We've got these grants that we've applied for and been successful with. And the reason is because there's a multi-jurisdictional hazard mitigation plan in place. So we also partner with the various departments, particularly the police department, especially this time of year. The Oro Valley Emergency Manager is responsible for readying staff and management disaster preparedness. She was Char Ackerman. She just recently left. Before she left, she managed to get our staff and a lot of other people into the EOC for training last April. We have a new one coming. He starts on Monday. His name is Louis Valenzuela, and he's going to have to hit the ground running because monsoon season is upon us. So another component of getting prepared for monsoon season is public outreach. The Stormwater Utility is very proactive in pushing out the monsoon preparedness message. We utilize social media, local print media, public meetings, web pages, phone, email, text messaging, and code red applications such as the Code Red Alert application, which I encourage everybody to sign up for. This is a pretty good application. It lets you know almost immediately when things are going bad.
Scott, how do we get the word out to the community that those are available?
We have links on our webpage.
On the webpage?
Yeah, and we also, you know, anytime there's a, like, for instance, the sandbag program that started yesterday, there's a media release.
Okay.
And we always have...
It was announced today at lunchtime.
It was.
Yeah.
I saw it yesterday in my email.
What about the little flyers that you used to put in the water bills?
We do have links on those.
Okay,
yeah.
So put it in there too.
Absolutely.
I got to read those.
Yeah. That's all the more reason to not go paperless, right? We link to those on the media releases too.
Got it. Thank you.
Absolutely. So another link on our website is the Monsoon Preparedness Guide, and I encourage everybody to look at this. It's got a wealth of information on preparing yourself and your property for the upcoming monsoon season. Along the lines of regional partnership and public outreach, the Stormwater Utility supports our local partners in their messaging efforts. So we link to their messages as well. So we have those links on our webpage as well. And this brings us to the sandbag program, which I have personally done a lot of work, and the rest of the utility has as well. It was quite an effort. And it started yesterday, and going through the end of September, we'll have sandbags for anybody within the town. You have to bring your own shovel, but I encourage you, if you have any areas of your property that have some drainage issues, take advantage of this. Get some sandbags and shore up your property.
Scott, real quick, from my own knowledge and outreach efforts on my side, it's only for town residents, right?
It is only for town residents. However, Pima County, the city, the town of Marana, as well as, I think Sarita is doing it.
I think
as well.
Sarita has one, yeah.
Although it might be with the county. Anyway, the county is covering a lot of areas that are unincorporated, and then Marana and the city are also doing this program. And we, I got an email from Urena today saying that there are links to the other programs somewhere. I will get
that. Yeah, I know our DOT just put that up, so.
I know the closest one to us that is not in Oro Valley is at Golder Ranch Road.
Yeah, Golder Ranch Road.
Another way that we prepare for monsoon, this is big, I work in this realm a lot with Jane, our inspector, but operation and maintenance activities. So wash maintenance is a huge part of this. If you have a lot of debris and sediment built up, the water will not convey, and people get flooded. So we want to make sure that doesn't happen. So this is an area, Vista del Oro Wash. I know it as Gravel Pit Wash. It runs between Vista del Oro Estates and Highland Mobile Home Park, and then goes under Lambert, empties into the CDO. So when you have debris and buildup like this, we like to get on it, we like to clear it, and that's what it looks like now.
Great.
Vegetation can also be a huge problem. So this is what I like to call Rancho Feliz wash. This is the wash that runs along Lambert, or La Cañada, I'm sorry, runs along La Cañada and then turns and runs between Canyon Shadows and Rancho Feliz subdivisions. And it gets overgrown quite a bit. The county cleared it out for us in 2018, and I believe we had to clear this section out recently. This uncontrolled vegetation is a huge problem, so this is what those areas look like now. And the water can be conveyed, and hopefully everybody stays safe.
I think that wash way back when, 15, 18 years ago, jumped the banks.
Oh, it did?
A couple houses did get wet.
Yeah, that's
a long time ago. Down right close to the CDO. Am I talking the right one?
It is. So if it this one empties into a tributary to the CDO, and the CDO is literally about 200 yards away.
Yeah.
So who owns those actual channels?
So this is the neighborhoods? This is a drainage easement for the town. So this is one where we definitely want to make sure we're on our toes.
So you have the easement, so you're responsible for it.
We're the responsible party here.
Okay.
It varies.
Yeah, okay.
There's plenty of private washes out there that we also inspect and make sure that the HOA will get a letter of opportunity to correct if there are issues and we see flooding potential. But we definitely make sure we're on top of our public washes. So this is where our Inspector Jane Hutchins comes in. She's out there finding culverts that are have sediment buildup or vegetation and making sure that they're operating. If they look like this, she'll go back and determine whether they're public or private. Generally, they're public. And schedule or put in a request into Cartograph, which is our operation and maintenance, our asset management software. And that will go to the operations department, and they will go out and clear things like this, make sure that they're working properly. These are scheduled. These have not yet been cleared.
And,
yes, sir.
I have a big interest in this because I got a bunch of these in my neighborhood.
Do you?
So, the actual structure is under our road. We own the structure. But the area before the structure, where it's all bound up there, is owned by the golf course. Who's responsible for cleaning that?
An excellent question.
Okay.
I need a little more research.
Okay.
If it's owned by the golf course, we have to look pretty closely at the
I understand. Lines. And we have ones that are mixed of three different HOAs own parts of those little
issues. Are the problems vegetation related or sediment?
It's the desert brooms growing up in it, that kind of stuff. Sediment, we're good. We myself and my other vice president, we checked everything. Everything looks good.
Well, that's good.
Because it blew out. Years ago.
You know, I'd suggest emailing John the locations and
we
can look into it. So that's the end of that presentation on monsoon preparedness.
Well,
anybody have any questions?
That's fantastic. I think that should be shown to the council. I really do.
Okay.
I showed a couple of your slides Wednesday night and there was a lot of interest. So I think having them hear this and know what we're doing, what you all are doing, I think is really important.
I agree. I think that'd be great.
No one notices till it overflows.
Exactly.
There's I turned one area into John Spiker that last year's monsoon along the sixth hole on the golf course eroded underneath these huge boulders that are holding the hill, and the houses are up along the top of that. And the boulders are getting ready to come down. Once a few of those boulders come down, those homeowners are at risk. So
yes.
I think John's been out there to look at it and see, you know, what needs to be done.
Okay. This is on the west side of La Cañada, then, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's right on hole six.
Is that the El Concourse?
Yes, yes, yes. It's where everyone hits the balls.
So it's the golfer's fault.
they're paying for it a little bit. Thank you. That's a great presentation.
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome.
Good job.
Any other questions? All right. Moving on to future agenda items. Anyone have anything they would like to see? Place? I think working with Stormwater, Pima County Flood Control, we can present anything related to the monsoon. You know, we can give you some facts and data, rainfall rates, anything like that. So we can do a monsoon status update.
Have John surprises.
Surprise.
Yeah, right.
Pictures of his vacation.
I was going to ask, since the budget has been approved, would it be inappropriate for us just to see what the 2022 budget is?
Which stormwater probably, specific or Oro Valley?
Not Oro Valley, okay. My goodness. But just stormwater specific, since we probably saw it last year, but I'm old and forget.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah. Ooh.
Stormwater utility would like to offer for consideration the following future agenda items. Your suggestion was our first bullet item, so you stole my thunder a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You got some water bottles.
Do the presentation first.
The second bullet item was fourth quarter ADQ MS4 reporting and an updated stormwater management plan.
All right.
Okay.
Make sure she gets this.
Yeah, I'll pass this.
All right.
Well, I should fill the agenda next time. That'll be enough.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's July, correct?
We are scheduled to meet in July. We cannot cancel a meeting. It is not on the agenda.
Gotcha.
So, would we like to put that as an agenda item to potentially cancel the August?
Maybe. No. I can't speak in
right.
here, but...
We just want to keep meetings going forward.
My suggestion would be through monsoon season because who knows what's going to happen month to month.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What? Yeah, so we don't need to have that on there. We'll just keep standard meetings. All right. With that, we'll move on to the final item, the adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn? Mr. Mattson makes a motion.
I second.
Mr. Thomas makes a second. All those in favor?
Oh, Mr. Crocker.
Crocker, excuse me.
She's all those in favor? That, not oh, no way.
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Nay. All right. Okay. So moved. We are adjourned.